Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
We deceive ourselves, you see, when we fall into that kind of trap. We fall into this whole idea of ego. We're fooling ourselves and not anybody else. You know, again, understand something. When you think you're something, that you're really nothing, you're deceiving yourself. And God's not going to leave you there in that think you're something mentality. You've heard the famous scripture, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know, that's good advice. Because if you humble yourself, you know, that's a little bit easier than letting God do it. Because I'm here to tell you something. God's really good about humbling us when we need it. When God humbles you, He does a very thorough job. So you really want to stay on this humility thing. Not by putting yourself down, not by puffing yourself up, but by seeing yourself through the eyes of your identity in Jesus as a sinner saved by God's amazing grace. And the only thing you're bringing to this equation is simply trusting, simply believing in what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know, that's the first step, you see, to helping somebody else. You got to be online with God, right? Before you can turn around and invest yourself in the lives of other people. So we need to take a good hard look at ourselves and where we stand with God and what the Lord is doing in our lives personally first. Then secondly, notice in verse 4, we are told this. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, notice, we are not just to see ourselves the way God sees us. But the second step is to see what we do the way God sees us. Interesting, this idea, let each one examine his own work. The word examine there in the original language is a word that was used with the idea of testing the purity of precious metals. It was the idea of, say, taking, you know, a sample of gold, putting it in a crucible, putting it in a fire, and firing it up so it would liquefy, and then you'd be able to see how pure this gold really was. Well, again, this is what God does with what we do in this life. You know, sometimes we think, you know, well, you know, I'm serving the Lord and I'm doing this and that and the other, and boy, I'm sure God is going to be really pleased with me. Well, sometimes God will let things get pretty hot and heavy in your life while you serve the Lord. He's going to allow you to be able to take a look at what you consider your ministry for God through that lens of fiery trials. And why is that such a revealer? Well, sometimes, if you're like me, we serve the Lord and you know, we invest ourselves in wanting to build people up, but in the back of our mind, you know, the meter's running. You know what I mean? You know, have you ever had somebody who does something nice for you and they're doing something nice for you, they're really going out of their way, and yet you kind of have this sort of unease inside of you that you know they're writing this down. You know they got a check they're going to cash later on because they did something nice for you. Or heaven forbid, someone does something nice for you and man, they never let you forget it. Oh, don't you remember that time I did that nice thing for you? Oh, don't you remember that time when I went out of my way for you and so on? Well, you know, we can fall into that trap with the Lord. And the Lord's got a great way of showing our sincerity in whatever we decide to do in our walk with Christ. If you decide to serve the Lord for what you can get out of it, that you think, if I do this, then I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all this other, well, maybe wise, but healthy and wealthy, not so much. And then your life falls apart. Then you know, you don't get what you thought you were going to get out of all of this. Are you going to continue to serve the Lord just because you're serving the Lord, just because you realize that, well, there is going to come a day when I stand before the Lord and then He's going to balance the books? Or do you want your payoff here? And if you don't get your payoff here, you don't get the attaboy, the pat on the back, right? The position in the church. You don't get, you know, the prosperity thing. Man, I can't believe it. I served the Lord all week and I still didn't win the lottery this week. You know, you get into all this. There's a lot of people that start out serving the Lord and then they just blow it off. Why? Because fiery trials come their way. And when fiery trials come their way, it tests the work that they have done. It tests our inner motivation, you see. Not just for what we do in the body of Christ, but why we do it. Are you going to continue serving the Lord, even if it hurts? Are you going to continue serving the Lord, especially because it hurts? That's a real challenge. Let each one examine his own work. You know, how interesting. His own work. You know, the big question is the work that I'm doing being done in faith in Christ? Am I depending upon the Holy Spirit to do this work? Or is it something I'm doing for God? Boy, this is a subtle distinction. But it's the difference between blessing and burnout in serving the Lord. Do you do what you do for the Lord? For the Lord? Or do you allow the Lord to do it in and through you? That is a huge distinction. You know, it doesn't seem like much, but boy, you're going to end up in two different destinations based upon how you answer that question. Is it done by faith or is it done in the power of the flesh? You know, it's easy to serve the Lord in the flesh. You just find some area in the church that you're naturally good at. You park yourself there. You don't really have to depend on, you don't have to trust God. And you might be very useful. You know, a lot of people might come up to you and give you the high fives and pat on the back and say, oh, how do we ever get along without you? You do such a wonderful thing. But understand something. If you're relying on you instead of on the Lord, you know, at Judgment Day, what you're going to get out of that? Nothing. Nothing. If you decide to do what you're going to do in serving God, say, to curry favor with church leadership or to achieve some kind of position in the church, guess what? That's all you're going to get. You know, the Scripture talks about how when we stand before the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, that God is going to judge how we built on our foundation of faith in Christ. And some of us have built on it with wood, hay, and straw, some gold, silver, and precious stones. Again, the fiery presence of God is going to reveal exactly what we built on. And you know, the bottom line is this. You know, when wood, hay, and straw are exposed to fire, poof, they're up in smoke, they're gone. But when gold and silver and precious stones are exposed to fire, it only purifies them the more. So it's really important for us to understand this. Let each one examine his own work. And notice, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, I love this. Not in another. You know, Satan's great strategy, if he wants to get you distracted in your service to God, is to get you looking at other people instead of what the Lord has called you to do. And it's a real occupational hazard for pastors, obviously. You know, sometimes people will say, you know, get to these pastors' conferences and they'll say things like this, you know, well, how's things going in the ministry? I'll say, oh man, it's so exciting. You know, we've got people coming to know the Lord and you know, they're getting discipled and you know, it's just so wonderful to see, you know, these outreaches going on and all this stuff. And I can see them going, yeah. And they get done with that and they go, no, how many you got? What do you mean, how many I got? I don't got anybody. No, how many people attend your services? You know, and we tend to evaluate based on statistics, right? What's your tithes like these days? What's the offering like these days? How big a sanctuary do you have these days? Well, when you do that, understand, it becomes not serving in a heavenly sense, it becomes serving in a horizontal sense. It's like competition, right? You know, we got to be bigger and better and more on top of it than those guys down the street. And I kid you not, you go down that path, you're going to find yourself looking at anything or anyone aside from Jesus. God will, I guarantee you, start going down that path, God will bring you up short. Certainly did that with Simon Peter. In John chapter 21, remember good old Simon Peter? He denied the Lord three times. God gives Peter the opportunity to reaffirm his love for Jesus, not once, not twice, but three different times. And then Jesus gives the real heavy to Simon Peter. In John chapter 21, he tells him, "Feed my sheep." And verse 18, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, here is Jesus being as upfront and close, personal with Peter as he can be. "You follow me, man." But Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. This is John, who also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Isn't that the way it is? You know, God starts laying a heavy on us. "Oh, yeah, I know somebody else who needs to hear this message. You know, I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to get into this competition thing with some other fellowship." Because, no, what God is saying, you follow me. I guess what I'm trying to say here is this. If you want to be about the business of encouraging people, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know, make sure that whatever you do, you do it as unto the Lord. You're doing it for the reward you're going to receive when Jesus looks at you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because I guarantee you, if you start looking for the attaboys, if you start looking for the results, if you start looking for the tangible rewards for following the Lord in this world, you are going to be sorely disappointed. I really believe that's why the statistics on ministry burnout are so impressive. Did you know that statistically, the average pastor stays in the ministry 5 years and then quits? Statistically, that's the longevity for people who decide to go into full-time ministry. And I always kind of wondered about that. 5 years, that's it? Well, I think the reason for that epidemic of burnout is because we do get distracted. We do start playing to the crowd. We start looking for applause and attaboys and statistics and so forth. And boy, you do that, God's not going to bless it. And if you try to do something spiritual that God's not blessing, you're in big trouble. So what God is saying here is this. If you decide to focus in on serving the Lord, examine your own work, ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Guess what? You're going to have rejoicing in yourself alone and not in another. Boy, I love that. You know, I can't be responsible for other people's choices in their walk with God. And neither can you. But we can be responsible for our own choices in our walk with God. And if we can model that to other people, this dogged determination that whatever we do in this life, we're doing it because we love Jesus. We're doing it not because we're trying to earn or merit or deserve His love, but because He first loved us. Boy, you are an undefeatable foe to the powers of darkness. Now notice verse 5. It says, "For each one shall bear his own load." Now, you know, this is an interesting thing because, you know, it says each one will bear his own load. There are those who get confused here because they look at verse 2 that we talked about. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Okay, what are we supposed to do here? Are we supposed to bear one another's burdens, or are each of us going to carry our own load? Well, both are true when we understand the nuance in the language here. When it says, "bear one another's burdens," you know, the word burden there is a different word than the word load. The term burden means something that is, you know, crushing in its weight, something that is impossible for a person to carry. You know, it's like we talked about this on Wednesday night. It's like that whole idea of doing the bench press, right? And you get a little bit ambitious about how much you can bench, and you think, oh, man, you know, the older I get, the better I was, and you think you can lift as much as you did when you were 25, and you get that weight up there, and you go, "Oh, and it ain't going anywhere," right? You guys know what you do, then you go, "Little help, little help, where are my sternum brakes? Give me a little help," right? Yeah, you know, it's like, and you know, that for who?
Yeah, bro, I can help you out, you know, and they come over, they go, it's all you, man. You're like,
that's the idea of this idea of a burden. It's something you can't lift without somebody else's help. And there are things that will come into our lives that certainly are those kind of burdens. Like when we stumble and fall, we need people to come alongside and encourage us. But this idea of bearing one's own load, the word load there carries the notion of a soldier's backpack. And a soldier's backpack is designed in such a way that a soldier who's been properly trained can manage that weight. It's a weight, and sometimes it's a pretty amazing weight. I remember running a 15K race once, and I took off, and there was a guy, you know, kind of in his, army fatigues and all that stuff. He had a backpack on while he was running this race, you know, and I didn't see him for a while. That's a 9-mile race, and I finished up. Guy comes in about 5 minutes after I get done. He takes off the backpack and opens it up, and he takes all these rocks out of his backpack. I was very impressed with his time after that. Well, this whole idea of bearing your own load there is like bearing your own backpack. It's interesting. The Greek word here is the word portion. We get our term portion from it. In other words, God gives you a specific portion, a specific place to occupy in the body of Christ. And he wants you to bear that weight. You know, it's not just like we receive Jesus and we kick it till we get to heaven. God saved you, and he saved you for a reason. He saved you for a purpose. You say, but Scott, how can I know my purpose? I want to wrap up with this. You know, discovering God's purpose for your life isn't really rocket science. Ask yourself some basic questions. You know, your life is not an accident, right? You know, God knows what kind of a personality you are. Ask yourself, okay, what kind of personality am I? You know, if you're an introvert, you know, you tend to be a little shy around people, not comfortable in front of crowds, chances are he's not called you to be up here preaching, right? But maybe he's called you to significant one-on-one ministry because that's your personality. That's the way that you were created. You look at your personality, you ask yourself, okay, what can I learn from my personality as far as how God can use me? Secondly, look at the path of your life. What kind of experiences have you had in life? What kind of expertise have you been able to develop in life? That I don't think is an accident either. You know, we all have particular bents and interests and so forth, and God can use those to direct us into areas of service and ministry to Him. But the other thing is this: what is your passion in life? What is your passion? You know, you probably know this, pursue your bliss. But understand something. You know, there's a scriptural element to all of that. You know, the wonderful thing about serving the Lord is this. It isn't a bummer. It's a blessing. It's a joy and it's a delight when you find that place that Jesus has for you. And in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you something really heavy to carry that's going to bum you out the rest of your life." When he said, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You'll find rest for your soul. You know, again, you're going to find that perfect place. Honest to goodness, I tell people, doing what I do for a living, being a pastor, I feel like the kid who grew up to be a baseball player. I can hardly believe this is what I get to do for a living. You know, it's just so exciting. And you know, I Ben Pam's here about this. You know, we get done with the radio program. Oh, it's so exciting. We got these calls. You always say that. You know, I prepare myself. Oh, God, show me these neat things. I can't wait to show you. You always say that. Man, I hope I'm always saying that. Because this is my passion. I love God's Word. I love sharing God's Word. I can't think of anything more wonderful. What's your passion? You know, what is something that you just delight in? You know, what is something that's not heavy for you to do? What is something that's not a got to do? What is your get to in life? You know, I don't think that's an accident. God has created you for this. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, we're not created by good works, gang, but we are created for good works. God wants to use you. He wants to make you like a masterpiece. That's what that word workmanship means. And God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make throwaway. Now, oftentimes we need to ask ourselves a question. Okay, what does God want me to do? Where can I serve in the body of Christ so I can build other people up, so that I can encourage them, so I can make a difference? You see, when we begin to examine ourselves, we ask ourselves, okay, what makes me right with God? Is it what I do for God or what Jesus did for me? We begin to examine our work. Okay, why am I doing what I'm doing in this life? Am I doing it for the glory of God or am I doing it for attention for myself? But finally, have I searched and asked God, where do I fit? What is my role? What do you have in mind for me to do? God, show me what you want me to do. God's going to do that. And you know, the beautiful healing part of all this is hard to miss. You know, when we discover these gifts and we discover we're not in it for ourselves, we're in it to help and encourage other people. Boy, another scripture comes beautifully in focus in our lives. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also the interests of others. Why? That's exactly how Jesus looks at you. And if you really want to find joy, you really want to find peace, you really want to find fulfillment in your walk with God, you want to see the church become all that it can be, look at life, look at yourself, look at what you do through the eyes of Jesus. You know, the funny thing is, we're to esteem others greater than ourselves. I think it was Dave Guzik who said, you know, when we're all looking up at others, there's no room for anyone to be looking down on anyone else. May that be true of us in our walk with God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you want to mobilize an army, not just make Christianity a spectator sport where we gather together in a meeting like this and go, yay, pastor, glad you're on fire for the Lord. Yay, way to go. God, you want us to be a part of what you're doing. You have good works which you prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, Lord, I pray we would look at our own hearts. If we've drifted away from that first love and just that passionate pursuit of you and have substituted approval and attaboys and accolades for that, we want to turn from that. God, we want to look at what we do. If we're frustrated and feel bent out of shape about what we're called to do, either serving you in the body or what we're doing, maybe we're not doing what you called us to do. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. I pray, Father, that we would pursue that and realize that you have that perfect place, that perfect giftedness, that ideal spot to serve, and that we would look at our life and our background and our desires and our delights and bring them to you and ask you to use us to be guided and directed in this beautiful way. Most importantly, Lord, we want to bear our load for you. We want to be fulfilling the portion that you have for us in the body of Christ. We don't want to be bored. We don't want to be bummed out. We don't want to be burned out. We don't want to out at all. Lord, we want to be filled with your Spirit. We want you to use us in an amazing and loving way. Grant us right now that refreshment that comes through your Holy Spirit. Oh, pour your Holy Spirit out upon us again, anew and afresh. For those who are weary and heavy laden, give them strength. For those who perhaps have been overcome by sins and resentments and bitternesses, let them just release them to you and receive your healing right now in this moment. For those who might be here and they don't even know you, Lord, may they realize that you are the true and living God. You're knocking at the door of their heart. You want them to know the love of Jesus and the fact that he died for them and rose from the grave. They just say yes to you right now. Oh God, make us people who serve you with a passion, not people who've grown cold or lukewarm, but people who pursue you and all the more, knowing that the coming of Jesus is nearer now than we first believed. God, grant us that vision, that grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive, Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661. 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.